In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As you might have already picked up on from our readings and from the hymn, love and envy are direct opposites. So you could say that love is the opposite of every sin, and you would be right, but not in the same way that love and envy. Love and envy are absolutely direct opposites. They have this special opposition. And the reason is because both love and envy, the object of love and envy, is your neighbor's good. So envy will look at my neighbor's good, whatever good he has or she has, whether it be a certain stuff, you know, blessings, or whether it be a certain joy or faith or whatever good my neighbor has. Envy will look at that and be sad that my neighbor has it. Love will look at that good my neighbor has and rejoice with them. So this is how they end up just polar opposites. Let's say your wife starts going to a new ladies group and she loves it. And she makes new friends there and she can't wait to go every week. Now, if you love your wife, then you will rejoice with her, and you'll be so thankful that she has found this new group. But if you envy your wife, then you will, you know, criticize this new group, you'll talk bad about some of her new friends, and you'll make her feel bad for time and fun that she's having without you. See, love and envy, they have the same good of my neighbor, but treats it in totally different ways. Or let's say your friend gets a new job and is now making more money than you. Well, if you love your friend, of course you will rejoice and praise and thank God that he has blessed your neighbor. But of course, if you envy, then instead you will talk bad about your friend's new employer. You will call your friend, oh, how greedy that they would take that job with more money, right? Or you'll try to ostracize them from some of your joint friends, or maybe you'll drop lines about how much money they're making so that you can make them feel guilty. Love and envy, they can't go together. So the first picture I want to give you tonight is not of envy. I want to give you the picture of love. Because when there's love, all things are good. That's why we love 1 Corinthians 13 so much. Because it reminds us that when there's love, everything is good. Love doesn't envy or boast. It doesn't rejoice at our neighbor's, you know, harm. Love believes, it endures all things, it hopes all things, it never ends. So that's the picture I want to start with. First of all, if you have love, you don't have to be envious. Because the thing about love is when you and I know that we are completely loved by God, our Heavenly Father, we don't have to envy anyone. We can always instead rejoice with our neighbor because we know we are loved and we know they are loved. Right? And we all are. Each and every one of us is loved by Him, and He gave His Son Jesus for each and every one of us. So we don't have to play those comparison games or envious games. Now, the other thing about love is that love is okay knowing we're not all the same. Now, envy is not. Envy says, no, everything must be equal. But not love. Love knows, yes, in grace, in God's grace, we are absolutely equal, but we're not all the same. We're not all the same. And when we have love, that's good, that's okay. We're all right with that. We don't have to constantly say, I'm just as good as you are. That's a funny thing to say, because the truth is, you're probably not. C.S. Lewis picks up on this, and he says, anybody who's ever said that, I'm just as good as you are, actually knows inherently and instinctively that they're not. That's why we say it. We're trying to convince ourselves. But love, you see, love is okay that we're not all the same. It's okay that women are better at being women, and men are better at being men. And love says, that's okay, that's good. Or love is okay if you're better at parties and your friend is better with money. That's okay. Love is all right with that. And love also knows the value of everyone else. Love not only knows our own value, being loved by God, but we also know that Jesus shed his blood for all of my neighbors too. So this is a really important point. Love knows that when it comes to the goods that God gives, it's not a zero-sum game. In other words, God has plenty of good to go around. If my neighbor all of a sudden receives blessings, I don't have to be upset because, oh no, now I'm not going to get those blessings. That's not the way that God's love works. I can rejoice with you because I know God still has plenty of blessings for me as well. If you have three houses and I have one house, I say, that's okay. God has blessed me and everything is good, right? Or if you're full of joy, I don't have to resent you for it because I know there's plenty of joy to go around. So with love, you see, this is just the greatness of love. I mean, you are loved, your neighbor is loved, we're not all the same, and there's plenty of blessings to go around. This is good. This is the way it should be. This is also the life that we do have in Jesus Christ, because we are all loved by him, and we have his love to give to one another. Now then, though, when there is not love, envy quickly takes its place. Now, envy, you see, will not love God. Why? Because we're mad at God, because we don't think we've gotten what we deserve. And envy will not love ourselves either, because we're not ever content with what we have. And hence, envy can never love your neighbor. Because remember what the commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you can't love yourself, you will never be able to love your neighbor. And when you don't have love, and when you have envy, that means you don't have joy. So think about Cain. Cain had no joy. He had no love. Because all he could see was his brother Abel's joy, and his brother Abel's faith, and his brother Abel's pleasure. And it drove him crazy that he didn't have what his brother had. And so instead of rejoicing with his brother Abel and being thankful for all the blessings God had given to him, instead, he's envious and doesn't want his brother to have it. So his pride leads to envy, leads to hatred, leads to murder. He didn't love his brother. But, of course, it's even worse than that. See, because not only does he not love his brother, but because of that, he doesn't even love God. Now, Cain shows us something that in German was called Schadenfreude. And I would use that word in English, but I wanted you to be envious of my German. Yeah. Not really. I don't know German. Now, I would use the word in English, but here's the problem. We don't have a word in English for it. So all the books you read, they use this word, Schadenfreude. And it's two German words, harm and joy, just squished together. So what it is joy at my neighbor's harm. And this really is the ugliest side of envy. When our neighbor falls, we rejoice. That's sad, and that's what Cain does. Cain rejoices to see his brother dead on the ground. Now, there are numerous examples of this. One would be, that most of you will remember, would be Martha Stewart. Remember Martha Stewart? And how many of us were secretly, or maybe even not secretly, joyful when she was put into prison? That is ugly. That's ugly envy. You know, that's Schadenfreude. Why would we ever rejoice in someone else's downfall that way? Because we're envious. Or what about political opponents? Let's say that during this last election, let's say that either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, either one of them, would have dropped dead at some point during the election. Half of the country would have done what? Rejoice. That's ugly. Really ugly. Or let's say your neighbor buys a brand new $50,000 car and you're envious of it, right? But then the first day your neighbor has it, he gets into this big accident and totals the thing, right? And you'd probably have a smile and a good laugh with the rest of your neighbors, right? That's ugly envy. The reason envy is so was so secretive, I guess, is because it likes to parade itself around like it's good and self-righteous. Like, oh, I'm humble. I would never buy a car like that. See, See, that's how envy does it. It likes to make itself sound good, but when you really get to the root of it, it is so ugly and damning. After Cain kills his brother, then he has the audacity to say to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" See, yes, you are, Cain. That's the problem. You are your brother's keeper. And we are too. And shame on us if instead of keeping our brother, we kill our brother. But for all of this, I don't know if you could get any uglier than Judas. In the days before Jesus is going to die, this would have been about, 6 days before he's going to die. Seven. Mary, he's at the house of Mary and Martha, and Mary buys this expensive ointment, this perfume, and she puts it on Jesus' feet, and then she's wiping his feet clean with her hair. And it is, it's an act of pure love and devotion. It's beautiful. But Judas can't stand it. He cannot stand to see her love and devotion for Jesus. And so he barks at her and says, "Oh, why didn't you sell that? We could have given the money to the poor." Judas could care less about the poor. But what he cannot stand is to see her joy and love for her Savior. That's the ugliness of envy. Now, is there an answer to envy? Yes, there is an answer. Love is the answer. But not just any love, and definitely not the way the modern world talks about love. The answer to envy is the love of Jesus Christ. So I ask you to think about it this way for a second. Do you think Jesus envies us? Does he envy, you know, all the riches of the world that we have, you know? Does Jesus want to have all the power and the glory of our modern world? Does Jesus want to be a great dictator or the president of the free world? Does Jesus want a new iPhone 8 or a new Lexus? Does Jesus envy our modern science and medicine, how smart we are? Of course not. What a dream that is to think that Jesus envies us. Jesus destroys envy, because what does he do? He comes into the world, and he comes in as the least of all. He comes in underneath us. Now, there's no envy in that. And then he takes all the worst parts of the world, not the best, not the riches and the power and the glory, all the worst of the world, and he goes to the cross to suffer under it and die. Is God envious of us? Oh, that's ridiculous. He loves us. He wants us to have the best good, not the fake goods of this world or the goods that promise but can't deliver. He wants us to have the best good that we've ever been offered. Better than anything the world can offer. What God has promised to you is far, far, far greater than anything modern man can produce. And it's all yours because Jesus loves you. So this is how Jesus destroys envy. Because see, just as he loves you and me, that's how we love our neighbor. Just as he wants us to have everything good, we want our neighbor to have everything good too. And just as Jesus is content and joyful in what the Father has given him, we are content and joyful in what our Father gives us. That's love. It's just a blessed thing. Envy is an ugly thing. And one more thing I would tell you about envy. The original name for envy, before it was ever called envy, was sadness. That was the original sin, sadness. Sadness when other people have good instead of joy when they do. But we have no reason for sadness. I mean, what in the world could you and I possibly envy? What does anyone else in the world have that you would be envious of? God has given you a treasure that far surpasses anything we can imagine. So we can have joy, we can have contentment, we can be at peace, and we can look forward to a heavenly home that's greater than anything we could even conceive of. So much for envy. Jesus and his love is an envy killer. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.